Normally, the sale of a device covered by a patent means that the patent holder cannot sue the purchaser for infringement. The patent right is considered exhausted because the patent holder has already been paid for coming up with the invention. When the device breaks, people would typically fix it rather than pay for a brand new one. The problem is that if the product is so broken that it requires rebuilding, the purchaser is essentially making a new device. This rebuilding infringes the patent, and the purchaser can be sued for these actions. The idea is that the patent holder deserves to be compensated for someone making a device covered by the patent, but not for a purchaser who uses the purchased product as it was intended to be used. This issue is especially interesting when it comes to patents for genetically modified seeds. Yes, seeds. Seeds that have been genetically altered are eligible for patent protection. This is because, unlike seeds found in nature, genetically modified seeds are a novel product of human ingenuity. Here's the interesting part. Genetically modified seeds naturally grow plants, which naturally produce more seeds. These reproduced seeds are not normal seeds, but copies of the genetically altered seeds from which they're produced. The issue, then, is whether the reproduced seeds are also covered by the patent, or do they not infringe because the patent right has been exhausted by the original sale of the GM seed. The U.S. Supreme Court recently weighed in on this question in Bowman v. Monsanto. In that case, a farmer had bought patented seeds from a grain elevator and used them to grow genetically modified, pesticide-resistant soybeans. He then kept the soybeans and used them to plant subsequent crops instead of buying new GM seeds from Monsanto. Monsanto did not like the fact that Bowman was obtaining its patented seeds this way and sued, claiming the reproduced seeds infringed its patent. Bowman argued that he was using the seeds just like they were intended to be used. He was saving the seeds that the patented seeds reproduce naturally and not creating the patented seeds himself. The Supreme Court did not buy Bowman's argument and unanimously held that he infringed Monsanto's patent by replanting the seeds produced by the plants grown from the originally purchased seed. The court noted that if every farmer did as Bowman, companies like Monsanto would not invent patentable seeds because they would only profit from the sale of one batch of seeds. After this, farmers would simply reproduce their own seeds without having to pay Monsanto. The decision seems simple enough. After all, it was unanimous. However, it has interesting implications for an increasingly important area of law and society. Many products now incorporate self-replicating elements, such as 3D printers. 3D printers are able to produce copies of three-dimensional objects and have been used to make replacement parts for products. These printers can also be used to create entire products. Would the replication of a 3D printer from another 3D printer infringe the patent covering the device? By Monsanto's logic, it would, even though the device is being used precisely how it was intended to be used. Another interesting area that may be affected by the Bowman decision is biotechnology devices that self-replicate. These inventions incorporate living elements that naturally make copies of themselves. Examples include novel DNA sequences and cell lines. While the Supreme Court warned of the limited applicability of the Bowman decision, its logic is far-reaching and broadly favors patent holders over users of self-replicating technology. As strange as it may seem, these users may find themselves in court if they use their patented products exactly as the products naturally function. I'm Jay Kaysen.